Now, the worship of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Reverend Mia Richardson, pastor. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome to worship this morning. So, in the way of announcements, next week, we're having a special service that's not going to be in this building. It's going to be at Long Point Park in Geneseo on Canisius Lake. It's going to be a joint service between our church and Geneseo United Methodist Church. The time is going to be at 10 o'clock, and our choirs are going to sing together. I'm going to preach, so it's going to be a very nice service. And then after the service, we're all invited to stay for a potluck lunch. If you'd like to bring a dish to pass, you're welcome to do so. And the church asks that you help with table service. So that's next week. And then the week after that, we go back to our fall schedule. So that's going to be the beginning of Sunday school. So on September 16th, worship will be at 10. Is there anything else you wanted to announce this morning? Then let us rise in body or in spirit and join together in our call to worship. Let us join together in worshiping our God.
God is our Lord of love and peace.
God alone is where we find our joy.
God alone gives us our strength.
Let us worship God and let us pray. Creating God, giver of life,
open our hearts to hear your call. Open our ears to hear your voice. And open our eyes to see the world the way you see it. Open our minds to think like you. And open our lives to follow you. Amen.
Scripture today is Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. Everything on earth has its own time and its own season. There's a time for birth and death, planting and reaping, for killing and healing, destroying and building, for crying and laughing, weeping and dancing, for throwing stones and gathering stones, embracing and parting. There's a time for finding and losing, keeping and giving, for tearing and sowing, listening and speaking. There's also time for love and hate, for war and peace. The gospel reading is Matthew 26, 47 through 52. Jesus was still speaking when Judas the betrayer came up. He was one of the 12 disciples, and a large mob armed with swords and clubs was with him. They had been sent by the chief priests and the nation's leaders. Judas had told them ahead of time, "Arrest the man I greet with a kiss." Judas walked right up to Jesus and said, "Hello, teacher." Then Judas kissed him. Jesus replied, "My friend, why are you here?" The men grabbed Jesus and arrested him. One of Jesus' followers pulled out a sword. He struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. But Jesus told him, "Put your sword away. Anyone who lives by fighting will die by fighting." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me one more time, please? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So friends, we are now into September, so the last couple of weeks of the special sermon series that I put together for you over the summer, topics that you all asked me to preach about back in the spring. Now we are up to sermons that kind of take the form of, what do United Methodists think about this? Or what do Christians think about this? Or what do I think about this? Sort of controversial topics that Christians have to wrestle with. We're not totally sure where we should stand on them, what we think about them, how we should address them in our faith. So far we've talked about Satan. We've talked about hell, and now this week we are talking about war, and then coming up we're talking about another couple of interesting ones. What does our faith teach us about life on other planets? And what does our faith teach us about Ouija boards? If I haven't said it enough lately, I love you guys. These have been like the best sermons ever. So anyway, this week's topic about war was specifically Sean's suggestion. We were talking about this at dinner one night, and this is where this idea came from, because he told me, you know, I would really love to hear a sermon about war. What should Christians think about war? And I said, wow, a really great sermon could come from that. You know what, though? I have to make the title, War, What Is It Good For? And then Sean said, that was my idea. So then we high-fived over it, and thus you have a sermon this morning. Thank you for indulging me in my sense of humor. But anyway, the reality is that even though you can make light of it at least a little bit, this is a tough topic for us, war and warfare. And as we sit in a country, we're in an uncertain place. And that's really always true. We never know when something might happen. But it seems like, especially in the last few years, we're in a place where we could be potentially pulled into another foreign conflict, and a lot of us have anxieties about that, that we have to find a way to make peace with. It's really a frightening reality because foreign relations are constantly changing, and there's so little we know about some of the dynamics going on in the world. It's part of what causes war in the first place, the fact that we don't always understand each other very well, especially when our cultures are so diverse. We jump to fear, and then fear so often leads to violence and then to warfare. Especially when we have real threats out there in the world in the way of groups like ISIS, we really never know what's going to happen. And we don't know when we might be pulled into conflict against our will because another country attacked us. These things happen. It's something we have to live with. Historically, the United States has spent a really huge proportion of its existence involved in war. The United States has averaged a war every 20 years since the country was established. Many of us right here in this room have had some portion of our own formative years shaped by either a war or by an event that pulled our country into a war. Some of us are of a generation that might still be able to remember the attack on Pearl Harbor that pulled us into World War II. If you're closer to my parents' age, your younger years might have been shaped by the war in Vietnam. If you're a little older than me, your generation might have been shaped by the Cold War or by the war in the Persian Gulf. And if you're closer to my age, then your childhood might have really been shaken by the terrorist attacks on September 11th. And surely, if you're older than me, that day definitely changed things for you, no matter what. It's really impossible to talk about this conversation in just a straight-up academic, theoretical way, because there's a lot of theory and a lot of ideas that go into warfare, but wars aren't fought by ideas and theories and principles. Wars are fought by people. This reality is very close to home if you serve in the military, if you know anyone who serves in the military, or if you love anyone who is a veteran or has given up their life in service to the military. We lift up all of those people who were so brave to do that. We hold a lot of different feelings about war, and we hold them in this balancing act. As United Methodists, our stance on war is a little complicated. We have no reservations at all in saying just how strongly we support our troops and how grateful we are for all of those who have served our country in the military. And we hold that idea in balance with saying that supporting our troops doesn't require a person to support any particular war or the idea of warfare in general. You can have both of those ideas at the same time, but it's a delicate balancing act. We officially teach as United Methodists that war is incompatible with the teachings of Jesus and with his nonviolent practices. So we as United Methodists stand behind people who conscientiously object to all wars, who would never be willing to serve in the military, and who would object to any war that their home country might be involved in, because they're pacifists. But we also stand behind those people who believe that war is not preferable, but it can be necessary sometimes, and that it would be better to have a war than it would be to have unchecked tyranny and oppression and cruelty exist in the world. That war is sometimes justified. Our scripture touches on both ideas too, and it strikes a similar balance. Our Old Testament reading from Ecclesiastes teaches us that there's this rhythm in the world of good things and bad things, and that all of those things are part of God's plan, even those things that we perceive in a negative way. So there's a time for birth, but there's also a time for death. That there is a time for peace, but there is also a natural time for war. There is a time for building, but there's also a time for destruction. We can believe that, but if we believe that just on its own, it excludes the teachings of Jesus. So we have to be careful to weave that in there. Jesus taught us to be exclusively nonviolent, and Jesus lived his life that way, refusing to fight even out of self-defense or to defend another person. And the story that I picked for the gospel reading is one that I hold pretty close to my heart when I think about things like this. That on the day that Jesus was arrested, one of his disciples attempted to defend him from the people who intended to take his life, taking out his sword and attacking one of the people arresting him. And Jesus chastised him for it. He said, "If you live by fighting, you will die by fighting." These are words we have to take very seriously. United Methodists, we tend to sit closer to the side of pacifism. But in the event that we do see a war happen, we also have a whole bunch of follow-up resolutions. When war becomes unavoidable, we have a lot of ideas about things that no country should ever resort to doing or using under any circumstances. And you can find all of these spelled out in two places. Our United Methodist Book of Discipline, which is our official rule book, and then our United Methodist Book of Resolutions, which is a whole book just filled with these kinds of social policies and ideas about what do United Methodists believe. Those are two big, thick books, but we have them both here in the church. So United Methodists are officially against preemptive attacks on other countries. We are against violence towards civilians during time of war. We're against cluster bombs. We're against landmines. We're against nuclear weapons, chemical weapons, biological weapons. We are against torture. We are against terrorism. We are against war crimes and genocides. We are against crimes against humanity. And we are against the selling of arms to other countries for the purpose of helping them in war. So naturally, as you listen to that list, you're going to notice that those are all things that we have seen happen in the world in recent years. That is the reason why United Methodists decided to vote on those issues and take up an official stance on them. The Book of Discipline and the Book of Resolution are both living documents that are changed very frequently, and we should expect that in future generations, in the event of other wars, more things will be added to that list of things that United Methodists don't approve of, because we've seen very negative things happen as a result of them. That certainly gives us a ton of food for thought when we're thinking about how we should feel about war. The general concept, and whether or not we should support our country's involvement in any particular war. And yet, that's all it is. At the end of the day, it's thoughts, and it's ideas, and it's theories. But like I told you before, we can't possibly keep this conversation strictly theoretical. War isn't about theories, like I told you. Wars are about people. It's people that go to fight. And it's people that have to live with the consequences of warfare for the rest of their lives. There's really no limit to the number of stories that convey this truth. Some of us probably right here in this room have stories from our own lives about how war affects people. But I found one that I thought was really inspiring that I wanted to share with you. This is a story about a man from Japan who passed away about 20 years ago. And his name was Nobuo Fujita. Fujita fought for Japan in their armed forces during World War II. In 1942, Fujita flew a plane that dropped devastating firebombs over the United States West Coast, hitting Oregon particularly hard. The goal in dropping these bombs on the west coast of the United States was to cause enough damage to the country's west coast to put pressure on America to take our military action away from Japan and away from the Pacific, and to turn our attention back towards defending our own country. So that was the goal. And even though that goal failed, the United States remained in combat, remained on the Asian front and on the Pacific front, and ultimately the side that the United States was on won the war. Still, Fujita goes down in history as the only foreign threat to ever successfully bomb the continental United States. The Japanese military rejoiced in these bombings because even though the main goal that they had for them failed, they still saw it as a successful attack on the enemy. But Fujita didn't feel that way. Fujita was haunted by these bombings for a long time in his life. He felt a very deep sense of shame for attacking innocent people. And he had to carry that with him long after the war ended. He wasn't proud of his military service. He lived a very quiet, kind of reclusive life, and he didn't like to share his war stories with other people. The town in the United States that suffered the most damage was this really small town in Oregon called Brookings. It was a little town that its economy was based mostly on logging and farming. So they were surrounded by trees and forests, and so these firebombs that hit them and their economy pretty hard. They did recover, though. And 20 years after this attack, in the year 1962, the town of Brookings extended a formal invitation to Fujita to come and visit them. And their local churches and businesses raised the money to pay for Fujita's plane tickets so that he could come and join them in Oregon. Fujita was still living in a very deep sense of shame for his role in the war, and he was convinced that the people of Brookings invited him to come join them so that they could gang up together and kill him. So Fujita went through with this visit, but he brought with him a 400-year-old samurai sword that was a family heirloom. His intention was to bring the sword with him, go visit the town of Brookings, and if the people demanded it, to complete the Japanese military ritual of dying by falling on your own sword, rather than being killed by your attacker. But that wasn't what happened at all when Fujita visited Oregon. And he was shocked by what happened afterwards. The people of Brookings had absolutely no ill will towards Fujita. They had totally forgiven what had happened in the past. And actually, the reason why they invited him was because they wanted him to be part of a town party. Fujita was so touched by the love that was extended to him by people who used to be his enemies, by people that he attacked, that he handed over that samurai sword as a gift to the town. And after that, they hung it up in their library as a symbol of peace and reconciliation. This was a life-changing moment for Fujita. He had lived with so much shame before this visit. But afterwards, that shame about his role in the war was transformed into this new sense of purpose. And afterwards, he started devoting his life to peace building. He began that peace building mission by donating $1,000 to the Brookings Library, the same place that now hangs up his sword, for the purpose of purchasing children's books about Japan, so that they could have a whole section in their library that children could grow up learning about Japan, so that our two cultures could understand each other better, and so that there would not be wars between America and Japan in the future. He invited several people from Brookings to come and visit him in Japan, and they took him up on that invitation. And he visited the United States several more times in his life so that he could go back and plant trees in all the places that he bombed before. When Fujita passed away in 1997, the town council in Brookings named him an honorary citizen and an ambassador of goodwill. So he died with honor, and he died with incredible peace. War might be a temporary current reality in our world. But there is something in the future that is so much better. And our very good human spirits already know this. We haven't let go of it. And all of the warfare, all of the fighting, all of the bombings and shootings, none of that can shake this really good piece of our human spirit. Because God put it there, so nothing can put it out. This human spirit knows that we're not called to make war. We're called to be peacemakers. This is what Jesus instructed us to do. So even though wars may happen in this temporary sense, in the long run, it is God's will for human beings to create peace and reconciliation and love. And God's will is always done. Thanks be to God. Amen. Friends, I invite you to receive the benediction. Our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, and our Sustainer will guard our going out and our coming in from this time on and forevermore. And as all God's people, we say together, Amen.
This has been War, What Is It Good For? With Pastor Natalie Bowerman from September 2nd, 2018. Over the course of our history, the United States has been involved in armed conflict about every 20 years. We've all been shaped by wars in our lifetimes, yet war is incompatible with the teachings of Jesus. As United Methodists, we understand the subject is complicated and it is sometimes better to fight against injustice and tyranny. Our Book of Discipline and Book of Resolution specify clear limitations.
You've been listening to the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.